You are as powerful and capable as you allow yourself to be. This is Instant Inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. You are as powerful and capable as you allow yourself to be. I've known many people throughout my life, as everyone does, and all of the people that I've known are exceedingly responsible, powerful, delightful, capable, amazing people. All the people that I've known throughout my entire life are exceedingly powerful, responsible, capable, amazing, fantastic people. Naturally, because they're my mirror. Right?
Right.
Right. Right. You are as powerful and capable as you allow yourself to be. Well, I allow myself to be very powerful and very capable. And my power and my capability come from one direction. Who can tell me that?
Within.
My power and capability come from one direction, from within. It has nothing to do with my power over somebody else, my capability over somebody else, my talent being superior to somebody else. It's all from within. And it makes me very happy. It makes me very happy to follow my own pathway, to do my own thing, to walk my own way, to be responsible for my own life, to be responsible for my own attitudes, my own ways of thinking. But you know, we oftentimes think that we are responsible for what's going on in the world. And by thinking that we're responsible for what's going on in the world, all we do is make trouble for ourselves. Because we have created what's going on in the world. Now, we share with everyone this phrase. You'll recognize it instantly. We share with everyone this phrase, and it is very true. Now, there is peace on earth, and it began with me. Okay, let's look at the world and see all of the games people are playing. Now, are these all bad games? Are these all good games? Are these all loving games? Are these all hateful games? What kind of games are they? Well, what kind of person are you? If you are a loving, wonderful, supportive person, you will see the games that everyone is playing as loving and supportive. We watched a movie called The Cup about a monastery in, where was that?
India. A Tibetan
monastery that went down to India because it got chased out of Tibet by the Chinese there. And the abbot of the monastery was a very remarkable man. He was able to listen to all of the tales of all the monks in the monastery, and he had monks from the age of 7 on up. And some of them were connivers, some of them were trying to do things special ways, but he listened to all of them. And then, as he was listening to them, instead of responding to whatever the question was about them, what he did, he talked about something different. He changed the subject. And so the person who was listening to him was off guard, was not really able to be responsible. And so he changed the subject and had the person thinking of a totally different area. And then, after he had gone through that dialogue, he came back to his original dialogue and said, "Yes, I think that'll work out just fine." And meanwhile, the person who was listening, the person who was assistant or whoever, they thought, "Man, what's going to happen here? What's going on? You know, what can we expect to take place?" But he was totally in charge, and he said loving things to them. He said uplifting things to them, and they responded very harmoniously. But they didn't know what was coming. And this is how we can say our word, "There now is peace on earth, and it began with me," because people don't know what's coming. How can you say there now is peace on earth, and it began with you, when other people are in conflict? Other people are having a distress between each other. Well, all you do is say, "How do you know that?" remember? When the assistant to the abbot came to him and he says, well, there's no sex in the volleyball games, and there's no this or no that, and there is a lot of, you know, shouting and enjoyment. And so the abbot said to his assistant, how do you know that? Because he hadn't been out in the world, presumably, and he hadn't experienced these things, but he could have only seen it on television or read it in a magazine. And he, oh yes, and he did read it in the magazine, because he too got the magazine that the boys got on that, or maybe he had the boys' magazines. And but he knew. But the abbot was very wise in saying, well, now, how do you know about that? Now, you think that I'm just talking sort of wandering around the bush here, but think about it. How do you know anything? How do you know there is peace on earth when all you read about is war and conflict? How do you know there's peace on earth when you read about the famines and the illnesses and the things all over? How do you know about it? Well, in our discussion this morning, we talked about the idea that just because people write stories about things, it makes it sound like everybody is having a problem. Everybody's having a disease. Everybody's having a war. Everybody's having a problem. And when you do that, you come across with the idea that it's a hopeless situation to try to change it. There's no way you can change it because everybody is involved in this. This is a major conflict that everybody in the world's at war. Well, stop and think about it. Let's go back to the First World War. That was a big one. Was every nation on earth involved in the First World War? No. I would say 2/3 of the nations on earth, or maybe more, were not involved. Now, in the Second World War, that really was an all-inclusive thing. But how many nations on the earth were involved in that? Only, yeah, count your fingers, yeah. And most of them were not. And we say, it's a war to end all wars, you know. And like they say, they ask this very intelligent question. How long was the 30-year war, you know? And who puts these names on them? Who puts these limitations on them? Who puts these sums on them, trying to make them something that are uncorrectable? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way at all. We put the cause in motion that there is now peace on earth, and it began with me, and we start acting that way. Now, if you start acting peaceful, and you are walking around your community, you're walking around your friends and so forth, and your friends look at you and they say, man, you're a cool guy. You're a cool lady. You're just so relaxed. You're just so laid back. You wouldn't think that you would never know that you know all about the war that's going on. And of course, you don't say what war, because you know that there's none. And you don't say, yeah, that's true, because you don't know these things. You don't choose to know it. You may have awareness that there's a conflict, something, but you choose to keep your thought fully on the idea of peace. And so here you are in your own little corner of the world thinking peaceful thoughts, okay? There are people in your world who are thinking war thoughts. And these people are your neighbors, your friends, and people that you associate with, and they go off to war. But you have infected them. You have infected them with your peaceful ideas that there now is peace on earth and it began with me. So when they go into these war zones, they will say to the other people, there's now peace on earth and it began with me. Hey guys, if we will think peaceful thoughts, we will not have to fight. If we will think peaceful thoughts, we will be sent off to the area where there's no fighting. Now they don't know that there's not going to be any fighting there. They think there's going to be fighting, but they just send us off. And we always get shipped out into the areas where there's no battle, where nothing is going on. Now that's just one little segment. The words of one man speaking to his friends. Now, what about others? Now, who was around when our generals were growing up? Who was around when our generals were coming of age and becoming mature adults and going into their field of being a general? And who says to them, hey, be at peace. Find a way to solve the battle. Find a way to solve the problem without war. Find a way to be an ambassador, you know. Find a way to be a diplomat. Find a way to bring peace on these things here. So, where is it going to start? It's going to start with you. It's going to start with me. I have talked with so many people in my careers, and in talking to these people, I have always been a peaceful agent. I've always talked to them and said, hey, what are wars for anyhow? You know, what are conflicts for anyhow? What are these things for? And just talk back and forth, not it's bad, bad, bad. You know, not throwing it at them, making them irritated at me, but just questions like that. And pretty soon they're answering me with questions. And I say, well, what's the best way to run a war? Well, that's when everybody agrees and it's over with. Hey, yeah, that's great. When everybody agrees and it's over with. Now, how can we get everyone to agree? Well, the only way, and you see, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. Now, he's in a position where he is telling everybody what to do. He is in a position where he is planting seeds in other people's minds. And here, if he had a garden, let's say, of 200, 2,000 soldiers, okay? And that was his platoon or his company or whatever. And he spoke to them. And he spoke to them about peace. Not as peace, but he spoke to them about balance. Now, everyone who's in this war can come out alive. And you come out alive by recognizing that you do everything right. That you follow what your heart tells you to do. And you listen to whatever is right. And you do your prayers. See, they can say that. They can say you do your prayers because in the service they're allowed to have prayer, you know. Not like school where you can't have it. But in service they have the chaplaincy and so forth. And they have these things. But now, these guys, these generals, and as I told you, I met a lot of them. These generals, and also, we'll add another dimension in here, the movie stars. The movie stars go out and give a performance before the men who are out in the battle areas, and they try to lighten up their day a little bit and add a little bit of humor and so forth, and they do a beautiful job. But they, too, come off with this balance and with this love and with this peace and with this love your neighbor sort of thing. And, you know, how can you shoot your neighbor if you love him? How can you do things bad against your neighbor if he's your neighbor? But you can't say don't do this because when you're in war, you have to do that. That's part of the game. Or do you? Who says you have to do it? You see, there is peace on earth and it begins with me. How am I going to be the implementation of peace in my life, in my world, in my experience? I am the implementation of peace only as I am at peace myself. And this is a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. On our ship alone, we were on the CV-80 Petrov Bay aircraft carrier. Every place I went, I had my Unity books and I had my positive thinking books, you know, and all that stuff because that was what I was. And I would read them and the guys would come around, they'd say, what you reading, Barley? You know, and I'd say, I'm reading this positive thinking stuff. Hey, that's always good stuff. Yeah, read it out loud so we can hear it too. So here I am preaching. I'm reading out loud all these beautiful things. And I'm saying, you know, peace. And if somebody hits you on the right cheek, you turn the other and stuff like that. And you don't judge other people. You just live your life in the most beautiful way you can. And as I was giving these things to these guys, they're the gunners. They're the helmsmen. They're the people who are the pilots. They're the people who are flying these planes and bombing stuff and what have you. And it's amazing. It's amazing that here our little aircraft carrier, the little baby Petrov Bay, how it went through the battle zones, and it had maybe about 6 or 7 times that a kamikaze struck it. And you say, that's a lot. Well, no, not really. They hit the deck, and you just take the brooms and shove it off, you know, off into the ocean. Sometimes it burns up the deck, and you have to go in for deck repair and liberty, which is a wonderful thing. But as I would say to the guys, you know, remember, hey, we get a chance now to go back to Pearl, have a new deck put on, and yeah. And I said, and we get 6 weeks liberty while we're doing it. Oh, yeah. You see, if you look at it from the positive point of view, it all makes so much good sense and makes so much powerful stuff. You are as powerful and capable as you allow yourself to be. Don't run anybody else's life. Just live your own life so beautifully, so powerfully, so wonderfully that you delight in yourself. And everyone who sees you, they all say, man, you're quite a person. It's amazing what you can do, and it's amazing who you are. And I'm just so happy to meet you. And I bump into this situation a lot. I bump into it like Seville, she wrote. She says, anytime you come over here, we want to hear you talk. We want to hear you talk. And why do they want to hear me talk? Because I listen to their hearts. And I talk to their hearts about what's on their mind, giving them positive points of view about what's on their mind. And if all of us just listen to the heart of ourselves and those in our world that we've created there, we will be the most delighted, desired, the most enjoyable beings, bringing peace on earth with power and capacity that is beyond all measure. So, consider it, do it, it's done. I love you. Have a wonderful day.
I love you.